one earthquake expert we really need to talk to is our movie guy, Mr. Paul Preston, because he watches all those earthquake movies and likes to talk about them.
Da, da, da.
What a good-looking
or
guy
maybe
he is.
He doesn't like to tell me.
Who knows? We don't know. Paul, how are you, bud?
Just recovering from Earthquake 2020, but I'm okay.
Breaking news!
A little shake and bake.
Yeah. So how you been, brother?
Well, you know, twist my arm to stay indoors and watch movies.
Oh, my gosh, oh, no.
God, are you okay?
Well, I'm catching up on a lot of iconic stuff that I've never seen. You know, late iconic stuff. But I might have talked about this last time I was on. I forget. But I finally saw Clueless. Like, I'd never seen Clueless.
Really?
So,
you know, we have a little saying at the movie guys called movie jail. If there's something you should have seen by now and you just haven't, you're in movie jail. Like, if you haven't seen Shawshank, straight to movie jail with you.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, or Stand By Me. There's some movies, you know. But then there's always the debate about whether a movie is a movie jail movie or not. You know, I haven't seen License to Drive. But is that movie jail? But, you know, that kind of thing.
So basically, you're the state penitentiary then.
Right, yes. I meant movie. Not prison, jail, you know.
Yeah.
But then I saw Mean Girls. Never seen that.
Oh, that's a great Tina Fey movie. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Tim Meadows performances, actually, too. And I saw Waitress, which I'd never seen. The indie film, it became a big Broadway hit. But while people are quarantined, I have a few movies I recommend that are... I think I'll get on here next time when we chat with, like, the movies I never tire of seeing. But these are the ones today that are criminally underseen by people.
Will do, but you know what? First, can you discuss what you did recently? Because you went to go see... Raiders of the Lost Ark at a drive-in?
Yes!
Talk about that real quick.
Jelly.
I posted a picture about that, and people are chiming in from other parts of the world like, oh, yeah, those things should make a comeback. Well, in Southern California, they have. Or at least the Mission Tiki drive-in in Montclair is open. And you can stay in your car. You don't have to talk to anybody else. You know, they broadcast the audio through your FM dial.
Cool.
I'm shocked at how great... Yeah, I never used to go to movies I've seen the first time at a drive-in because I knew the production wouldn't be all that great. You get the little speaker or something. I don't know. Something's crazy where it's not a great viewing experience, but I'd see a movie there if I've already seen it before. Mm-hmm. But that may change because Mission Tiki, they have digital projection. The audio, as long as you have a great car stereo, is killer surround. It's amazing.
Wow.
And for reasons unknown, they showed Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade double feature. My favorite movie of all time and one of its sequels. I mean, what are the odds?
Yeah.
I see that movie every year on the big screen. It's one of the reasons I live in Los Angeles is because I can't. So, and I thought, well, the theaters are shut down. I'm going to miss it on the big screen this year. Not so. Los Angeles coming through with the drive-in, making it happen for me.
Which is, I think, really awesome. And I read an article about that actually we're going to read about it later on, too, in our segment, Lockdown Pick Me Up, because it's happening all over the world, too. Believe it or not, the drive-ins. So, are they going to be doing this constantly now, Paul, or what are they going to do?
Well, their schedule says. I mean, they've got, you know, Trolls World Tour, the animated movie, was supposed to have a big opening. It didn't. Universal instead just put it out for video on demand and on the streaming services so you can watch it. But it's playing at the drive-in.
Nice.
You know, recent hits: Invisible Man, Knives Out. They're over there. Birds of Prey just played, I think. So
next time
kind of recent movies are playing.
Well, next time they do like a classic, like a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of a thing, let me know, dude. I would love to go with you.
I hope they do. You know, it was half to two-thirds full for a movie that's 39 years old.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I was pretty impressed.
That's pretty cool. Well, Paul, tell us what movies we should now see, though, and stream on our channels there.
All right, I got one. If you're looking for a drama, but not, you know, super intense... You know, because you're stuck indoors.
Little Women?
2005. Yes, please enjoy Munich. No. this is a movie called June Bug. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
Super strong drama.
Oh, Rodney. That was a different June.
Wow.
That's a different June Bug.
Okay.
This is a movie about a couple from Chicago who own an art gallery, and they go to North Carolina because there's this very eccentric artists down there. They want to showcase his work in their gallery. And hey, while they're so close to the groom's or to the husband's family, why don't they go visit? Well, you know, cultured art museum owner from Chicago meeting super rural North Carolina folk. There's a clash of cultures there, and it makes for real good drama. It's just a smart film, and it has a bargain of a cast in it. You have people you need to describe. You can't just say their name. You have to say their name, describe them, and then they go, oh, I love that guy. Like, this movie has Scott Wilson. Anybody? Anybody?
I love that guy.
No? Walking Dead. He played Herschel, the owner of the the guy who owned the homestead in the second season.
Zach loves that guy.
I do.
Exactly.
You guys don't know who he is. I do.
Embeth Davids. Who's who? What? Who? No, she played the maid in Schindler's List that Ralph Fiennes character was so enamored with, and she was the female lead in Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell. Oh yeah, she's great. It's full of those people.
Cool.
But the best is, and she got Oscar nominated for it. Amy Adams played a pregnant woman with a baby she probably shouldn't be having. She probably shouldn't have got pregnant. But such is North Carolina. And her performance is the best performance of anyone in any role that year.
Oh, wow.
And it was the first I'd really seen of her, although she had been in Catch Me If You Can and some other stuff. But this was breakout. And and she's been nothing but great ever since. So
right.
Junebug, highly recommend it. If you want a comedy, I recommend a movie called Lost in America. Go find it out there on demand. Albert Brooks, one of my comedy heroes. If you loved Defending Your Life or Broadcast News, or of course the voice of Marlin in Finding Nemo, he made these great movies in the 70s and 80s where he just wrote, directed, and starred in them. And this is one of my favorites. He plays an 80s yuppie who gets this. He doesn't get a job promotion that he was expecting, so he kind of flips and he sells everything he owns, and he's going to ride across the country like Easy Rider and touch Indians and, you know, have a free spirit lifestyle. Of course, he doesn't have a bike. He's got an RV and his wife, and he pulls off this delicate balance where you feel for him because he didn't get the job promotion he was expecting, and he's kind of he's a bit abrasive. But you still root for him. I don't know. He finds that delicate balance where, like, he's annoying, but you really want things to happen for him. But he keeps making all the wrong decisions. Of course, if he didn't make the wrong decisions, we wouldn't have as much comedy.
Got it.
So, Lost in America, he's nearly funny in everything he says and everything he does in that movie.
Awesome. What's next? And
I'm making my notes here. I'm literally writing all of this down.
Please do.
There's going to be a test later.
Yeah. And did you guys ever see the Tom Cruise movie Night and Day with him and Cameron Diaz?
I remember it coming out, and to me, I think it kind of got mixed reviews on how.
That's the wrong response. You should have said, yes, I saw it. Yes, I loved it because it's great.
Is it really?
It's full on Tom Cruise. You know, he doesn't get any cruisier than maybe Edge of Tomorrow, you know, where he starts out as a schmuck and becomes Super Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Like, if you want Tom Cruise, it probably doesn't get more Tom Cruisey than Night and Day.
Tom Cruise. That should
it's
be
on
an
the
act,
list.
That should be an actual like phrase, Tom Cruisey.
Yeah, he's the cruisiest in this.
He's a spy.
He's a spy who's kind of been framed, and he's got to clear his name, and he gets Cameron Diaz whipped up into his whole story. And she's like, of course, a mild mannered woman who like restores automobiles, and she and then that whole dichotomy of their relationship gets. It's super entertaining. And I think he might be on the charm offensive in this movie because it might have been around the time that he went loopy with Scientology and had that awkward Oprah interview, an awkward Matt Lauer interview.
Right.
And so he is on the charm offensive in this movie. Everything you love about Tom Cruise is on display, plus crazy action. And it's from James Mangold, who eventually went on to make Logan and I think this might have been after 3:10 to Yuma, but he's a great underrated director too, who may now get the reins of the new Indiana Jones movie. So.
Oh, really?
So he's great.
Wow.
You know, Paul, can I ask you a question? Something I was wondering
Please.
About the other day. What happened to Nicolas Cage? Where did he go?
Random.
Okay, first, well, I mean, the theories are crazy. I mean, like he has so many debts that he has to make as many movies as possible to pay them all off, including like bizarre, never heard of Bulgarian films. But yeah, I mean, for a guy who used to have you know, some box office and awards cred. He certainly just is appearing in anything he feels like appearing in. But every once in a while, he'll show up in some indie that has life in it or has something that's unique and interesting about it that's worth seeing. But
well, the reason why
Mandy
I bring
was a lot of... really that was good, Mandy. That was the one.
Yeah, that'd be one of them. The Legion M sort of funded film, and there was one, Color Out of Time. Is that the one that just came out? Color Out of Space, some super bizarre, weird movie. I'm saying super a lot today. It's early.
Oh, that's super.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because the other day, I always loved Nicolas Cage 90 action movies, as I'm sure we all do, like Face Off, for example. I just happened to come across on HBO, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. 8mm. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That's a good film.
Oh, that's
I did not see it. It's a snuff film movie, right?
You're going to jail. Yeah. You're going to jail, Paul.
It's kind of it's based on that.
Wait, hold the phone. I do not go to jail for 8mm. Okay?
But the reason
I go to jail for Raising Arizona if I haven't seen that a thousand times.
The other reason why I bring it up is because if you know you haven't seen it, watch it, because there's two other people that are in it that were not really huge yet, but they were getting there. That's Joaquin Phoenix. And also James Gandolfini, who's one of the main bad guys in it.
It's a really good movie. It's hard. That's a hard one to watch.
Yeah, Amber, you've seen it, right? Like, Joaquin Phoenix was super young.
As a mom, that's really, whew, that one,
it's a rough one. But it's such a good movie, though.
I like their sequels, though, 9mm and 10mm.
And who didn't see that coming, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, just want to throw it in. Just throw it out, you know. You swing, you throw it, you see what happens, whatever.
See, I expect that from Steve.
But in all honesty, I would have really liked to see them with Jerry Bruckheimer finish the National Treasure trilogy, though.
Yeah, that's where he seemed to fall off the deep end
because
after those movies.
Well, those two movies I thought were great, and they have the thing to do that third one, and they just never got together to do a script to do that one. And I think that would have been a wonderful, another cool movie for him to do.
Yeah, but it's happening to our stars. That's why Tom Cruise is so great. He's the last movie star.
He's cruisy.
You don't think George Clooney is?
No, because Clooney is like this multi-hyphenate now. Cruise is just, I mean, Cruise produces, he does, but...
Tom Hanks?
He's just, and you can just put Tom Cruise in blank, and it's like, I think I'm going to go to that.
Blank line for Tom Hanks.
It's hard to not watch him. It's just, he's mesmerizing. I don't know, and I hate him, but I just love him.
Who, Cruise?
It's very strange. Yeah.
He's captivating.
Why do you
Interview with a Vampire. That is one of my all-time favorite movies with him, and just, ugh.
Oh, God, the author who wrote that, she hated him.
Anne Rice,
Anne Rice, when she found out that he was going to be cast, she hated the idea of him playing Lestat.
Lestat.
And then when she saw it, she went, okay, he did good.
To me, his finest hour was Jerry Maguire. Man, that was his best shot at an Oscar.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
You don't think it was Risky Business?
No.
Oh, my God, what a great movie, though. I mean, the guy's got 30 years of great movies.
You know what? If you actually look at his IMDb, I mean, there are probably, and this is just my opinion, maybe about 5 movies that you kind of go, eh. Everything else is like a major hit.
Yes.
It really is, you know, and which really makes me wonder how this new Top Gun Maverick is going to be when it finally comes out.
Which Paul curses the fact it's not coming out.
Indeed. You know, yeah. Unfair.
And, cool. I have a buddy of mine who was one of the consultants on the film, too, the military consultant. On the film and everything, and once we're going to try, when the movie comes out, we want to try and get him in and to discuss it.
And of course, Tom Cruise is out there flying the plane himself and hanging off the Burj Khalifa and hanging off the side of the plane.
That's
and
the jumping thing. Over he actually Chevy's. Flew the plane.
He's really? The man.
Yeah.
He's still doing all that shit.
He is still, yeah. The dude
Good for took, him.
Yeah, I'm like, holy cow. So, anyway.
I had a great line from, I think it was Ron Babcock, a local comedian, was on the Movie Guys podcast, and he said, you know, meeting Tom Cruise has got to be the equivalent of having a week-long juice cleanse.
I've
quoted that 1,000 times. It's got to be true.
Well, let me write that down. Week-long juice cleanse.
He leaves, and you're like, I just feel awesome. Like, I feel great.
Oh, wow.
And Night and Day is the one nobody's seen, and that's a shame because it is just entertaining itself.
Well, damn it, I'm going to go find it and get it, and I'm going to watch it.
And I'm going to come over. No?
Hey, social distancing. Social distancing.
Wow, yeah, we're in the studio. We're really social distancing.
12 feet away.
Never mind.
Well, Paul, it's always good to talk to you, buddy, and to let us know what to watch and everything and different things. So we really appreciate it, bud.
My pleasure. There's a few. I'll be back with more. You know, it's what we're doing. We're watching movies.
Absolutely. If you want to catch Paul on his
my
other
list,
podcast.
My list is waiting to be updated, Paul.
catch Paul at themovieguys.net. And, Paul, you're also doing another podcast, are you not?
Well, I produce a podcast for Disney, D23 Inside Disney. D23, the official fan club of Disney. Their official podcast.
So check it all out. Paul is the man. He's the guy. That's why he's with us, to uplift us and educate us.
All right, folks. Talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, bye. And there you go. Please catch him on his podcast, themovieguys.net.